for us to be together. I know it's a trial, and it was a double trial this morning with the software breaking down, but I think it's very important for us to try to be together and not to give up in these trying times. Yesterday I was driving down the road and I drove by a denominational church, and they have a nice marquee out there, and it said, okay, all services are canceled till July 10th. So I guess they just gave up. But praise God, we haven't given up. And I think it's good for us to persevere in a trial. And this morning I want to look at a letter that was written by a brother that didn't give up in a trial. And that was the Apostle Paul. All the things he's been through and all the things we read about, he didn't give up. And all his frustration with the churches he ministered among, he didn't give up. So let's not be giver-uppers. So let's look at Paul's letter to the Galatians. Remember how I said before, what a great thing to write a letter. Maybe we should all write letters during this time. But we have that left with us. And let's see what Paul had to say to the churches of Galatia and how it might really help us. So to move quickly here today, I've got 5 points for organization, and if you're taking notes, 1, an introduction. 2, why was Paul so upset with the Galatians? 3, why did he have to defend himself? 4, what was the gospel that Paul preached? And 5, an application. What's the result of this gospel? What can be the result for us? I just want us, as we start, just to be thinking about where we're going. I'm going to read to you a Sparks quote. Sparks has a book called The Gospel According to Paul, The Gospel of Paul. And in his story, in most of those chapters, he does one epistle. And at the end, he has a conclusion. And his conclusion for Galatians is, Christ liveth in me. That is good news. And that is hope. So that's the burden, too, for today. Paul addressed this letter to the churches of Galatia. The commentators say, well, maybe it was here, maybe it was there. And, you know, he wrote the letter to the churches of Galatia, which are the churches he ministered among. And probably the Galatia, whatever it was a Roman province in what is today Turkey. You ever think about Turkey? You ever think about some of these countries? I can't even relate. Dr. Oz is from Turkey. But anyway, I can't even think what Turkey is. But anyway, he was very upset with them. He was very upset with the Galatians because they were abandoning the gospel he preached for another gospel. He said this wasn't a gospel at all. This is a twin letter to Romans. A lot of the same ideas are in those two. Actually, I think Galatians is perhaps the most important book of the Bible. How many times have people said it's the most important book? But this one really is. It was a letter that God used to deliver his church from the dark ages. It's where he started the Protestant Revelation. the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther said, the epistle to the Galatians is my epistle. To it, I am as it were, in wedlock. It is my Catherine. So Catherine was his wife. So he's married to this epistle. It's been called the Charter of Christian Liberty. It brings us out from under living under the law to living under grace. Or better yet, to living in the Spirit. So number 2, why was Paul so upset with the Galatians? And let's just read a passage, Galatians 1, 6 to 10. You know, often he gives a long introduction that says, oh, I really rejoice with you, but he said, okay, guys, here I am, and guess what? I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Strong, huh? He was totally upset with them. Remember in 1 Corinthians, we noted that the Corinthians were upset, were messed up. Paul was upset with them, but he really appealed to them as Christians. You know? He appealed to them in spirit, and he was upset with them because they were carnal. They hadn't grown up, but still as Christians. But not this time. They were learning a different gospel, and he was afraid that they were going to follow another gospel, which was not the gospel of grace, but self-effort, law, coming under the law, and self-effort. It wasn't even Christianity. In 1 Corinthians, he preached Christ and him crucified. And it was the gospel that led to eternal life with God, and the other gospel was really quite eternally hopeless. I think one of the reasons Paul was so upset with them is because he had been there. He'd been under the law, and he'd been quite successful at it. But because of his experience, he'd seen the absolute futility of it and to come out from under that. He was begging them not to go there. And you know, just an aside, I've thought several times in considering these things that we can make a law unto ourselves. We can make Christianity a law unto ourselves. So we need to be aware that we don't say, if you do this, just got to do this to be a good Christian, or you got to do this, you get that. Kind of a law to ourselves. So let's avoid that. But Paul's burden was that these were Christians or people that had been set free from the law, and not just that, but set free under Christ, new creatures in Christ. And we need to understand that being set free from the law isn't the end. It doesn't lead us into license and gross sin, you know, not greasy grace, but we've been set free from that. That law. But we've been set free as to be new creatures in Christ. John 3:6, the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then here in this Galatians book, he says, 1:16, when God called me through his grace, he was pleased to reveal his son in me. That's Paul's gospel. And he expresses his whole burden, his complete burden, in one short passage that we're all familiar with, and that's Galatians 2:19-21. If we were all together, I'd ask somebody to read that verse. Galatians 2:19-21. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. You know, that's really the whole thing. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. So it's we've been delivered from the law, but we've also been delivered unto a new life in Christ, a new life source. We have a new spiritual life source deep within us. I've mentioned A.W. Tozer numerous times over the years, but he says in one of his books, in his opening, he says, the argument of this book is the essential interiority of true religion. So the Judaizers, in Paul's mind, were the great externalists, the great externalists. But Tozer says, no, it's essential interiority of true religion. And of course, Brother Spark says, Christ liveth in me, and that is good news, that is hope. I think this message of not law, but grace, new life in Christ is very very essential and very helpful to us. And the trials we've been through in these last months now, used to be weeks, now months, we can be undone. How many are undone? Okay. Some of the people here are undone, but I don't know how many at home. I think we're all undone. But you know, Christ in me can be the answer to our undoneness. It's hard to go on, you know. It's hard to find the strength to just get up and go on when it's all this stuff in us and over us. But we have another life source. We have a new life source. And might we, in these days of trial, when we come to the end of ourselves, find the all-sufficiency of that life source in Christ. It's a very practical gospel. Okay, number three, why did Paul have to defend himself? Paul was probably under a great amount of assault, right? He'd been an attacker of Christianity. He'd been, if not active in it, he'd been an active bystander as Christians were put to death. So it was quite a thing that he would be out preaching this gospel. So that's why he had to defend himself. You know, here's a guy who was actively persecuting the church. He says in verse 1:12, "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." This is something totally new. This is a new gospel. This is different, so listen up. I didn't receive it from man. I didn't go up to Jerusalem and get instructed in it. I didn't study a number of good books to learn about it, but the Lord revealed it to me. You know, he was, it says, as if he was saying, I came to the end of myself on the Damascus Road, and God was pleased to reveal his Son in me. He obviously came to the end of the old ways, the old life, but that's why he was defending himself so much. And, you know, we can all have days of trial. I obviously have a great deal of trial, but it's a perfect opportunity to call out to the Lord and rely on his spirit life within us to live our lives. And I think as the days go forward, things are going to get more and more difficult for us to exist in our natural strength. So Christ himself, our life and our satisfaction, is the answer. Okay, number four, what was the gospel that Paul preached? And again, we mentioned before that there's a great summary of that gospel, Galatians 2, 19 and 20. "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." It's a moral transformation, but it's also a very practical transformation and a change of life. You know, a while back, Mac brought a message of encouragement, and perhaps some of Jeffrey's messages, but that great encouragement is one that's encouraging to me, is God is with us. God is with us. Praise the Lord. But also, Christ is in us. Christ lives in us, with us and in us. John 14, 17 says, "That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." So the Lord abides with us, and he is in us. Praise the Lord. So we know this is a difficult transition. It requires coming to the end of ourselves. But let's read a verse again that we've all been reading. In this is 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 12. This is Paul. His testimony. And so might we find encouragement from this, each of us personally. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power of God will, greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. The power, the strength for our lives, the strength to go on. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Perplexed, but not despairing, because the life of Christ lives us. Christ liveth in us. Christ liveth in me, and that is good news. That is hope. So, may we not miss the opportunity in these days of trial to gain Christ. We had a next door neighbor. We've probably told you about this, but we had a family from Kenya that was living with us, living in the country for a year. And they had four children, and the wife was working as a nurse at night to make ends meet. And the husband worked in the real estate industry, and he was home with one of the children one night and tripped over him and fell. And his husband fell back and got a pretty bad concussion, and called the ER. Firemen came and they hauled him off, and it was a bad injury. And she thought that he was probably going to die. And Sharon ministered to the family during that time. But maybe this is something you all have heard before. But she told Sharon, she said, Sharon, she called you Sharon? Our test has become our testimony. Our test has become our testimony. So I wonder if this test we're living in right now might become our testimony. And the only way is by Christ, our life. So let's see what fruit we might get out of this trial. Let's read Galatians 5, 13 to 24. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, so he's talking about the application of this, no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and a desire. and desires. So I think Paul's encouraging us in this passage to live by the Spirit and not the natural man. The deeds of the flesh are very gross here, but it's also some things of the flesh in these days are anxiousness, nervousness, fearful, and frustration. So we might be experiencing all those things, but we do not need to live under that as Christians. We have the life of Christ in us and the strength for today and the bright hope for tomorrow. We have an uncreated life, an unnatural life in us to persevere. It's interesting, the deeds of the flesh are numerous, and I don't want to talk about them. But with the fruit, the deeds of the flesh are natural strength, but fruit is a different word. Deeds of flesh, natural. Fruit is something we bear. So, and we don't only bear this. He talks about taking care of one another, but I think we can take care of ourselves. These aren't just things to express. These are things to experience internally. So I'm just going to read a couple of these thoughts and the fruit of the Spirit that he mentions and leave it to all of us to go home and think about it. See what encouragement we can get from these fruit. Love, the love of God filling our hearts in these trying days. The love of God filling our hearts. Praise the Lord. Joy, Paul in his trials, Philippians. I don't know, how many times did he say joy? I rejoice from a jail. I rejoice. So we have a life to rejoice in. We have eternity as in view. And we have a life of Christ to live through, live by today. So we need to be people of joy. Peace. Not only do we have peace with God, we have the peace of God as our inheritance. Patience. You know, often days like this are times to endure and to develop patience. You know, living in this society, living in this world, we want instant gratification. We don't want to bear and forbear. But I believe the Lord will work patience in us. Kindness. Remember what they said in 1 Corinthians? That, or was it 2 Corinthians? Encourage one another. Encourage one another in the trials we're in, because we go through these trials so we can encourage one another. So kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Are we faithful even in trial? These are days of trial. Yes, faithfulness. Gentleness. It's trying in the families when you're home all the time, isn't it? Gentleness. But that's the peace of God, the fruit of God born out. And self-control. And I just had a thought about self-control. And that is that we not, in days of trial, kick against the goads. Remember, Paul said he did not kick against the goads. That's the, you know, that's the oxen. The farmer would have a goad, pointed stick or a piece of wood that he would poke the oxen with to keep them moving. And I think in these days of trial, we have, we could kick against the goads. We could resist and just resist the opportunity God has given us to lay hold of his life. So, what have we said here? I think this letter of Paul can be a great encouragement to us. As he was concerned, they were trying to live their lives out of law, out of self-effort, out of a formula, out of the natural man, but that we not miss Christ, our full salvation. 2:20, he said that Christ lives in me, and the life I now live is by faith in the Son of God. Might we live by the faith of the Son of God, the life we live. You know, in the days of trial, we may find it difficult to endure, but Paul has a word for us. If we come to the end of our strength, then we can come to the beginning of his strength. And then, we can experience what Brother Sparks said. Christ liveth in me. That is good news. That is hope. Christ liveth in me. We have a strength for today and a hope for tomorrow. So let's just close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have given us hope in these trying days. Lord, that you are God of all hope. And so we just give you our lives afresh this morning and pray that we might be quickened deep in the inner man, that we wouldn't take our circumstances under our own control and try and improve them and get out from them, but that we might gain Christ, that we might know that resurrection life, the life of Christ lived out within each one of us. And we pray that we might know that strength of spirit, that we wouldn't cave in on ourselves, but we'd be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. We thank you for these days and pray you'd bless them. In Jesus' name.